Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Lord Judah. Lord Judah. Lord Judah. Yes, yes. Once again, Westchester put on series. Tonight, special interview so I could connect with my peoples and let him build about what's going on and highlight his music and whatnot. Special artist, been working with for years, and, you know, fam. And what we're going to do is just talk about a lot of what's been going on and also connect with what we've been up to in regards to the Westchester put on and some of the next steps that's going to be taking place. This interview is definitely going to consist of us building on the past, what we experienced as artists growing up in Westchester, White Plains, a lot of things that we did as artists connecting in the community and, you know, the come up, so to speak. And, you know, where we are right now. A lot of artists are in good places right now in regards to their creativity and in regards to their movements. And definitely this brother is one of them. Like I said, it's Sam. And brother's name is Wish Lim, if you didn't already know. So, going to be connecting him in a second now. This interview is number 4. Had some real good conversations with some of my peoples over the past 4 interviews, and definitely hope to have a great one tonight. So we're going to get it going right now. Peace, peace.
Peace, peace.
Hello.
How you?
Hello. Good, hello. Good. Yeah, yo. To the world, you know what I'm saying?
Word up. I'm here.
You know what I'm saying? Word up.
Peace,
so, yeah,
how
brother.
You, man? How's everything?
Nah, good. You know, this is definitely a special one for you, just for you, man, because, you know, the schedule I'm going to be doing this on is going to be really trying to get everybody in on the weekend piece. So that way I catch everybody and then I could do all of the in-between work during the week, you know, because I have a fun time creating the segments, like the official segment with the music and everything, you know. So it's just fun for me to do that, you know what I mean, to talk with you first. And then after I talk with you, to go into, you know, just creating a vibe for the segment, you know what I mean, and bringing songs. And I don't know if you heard any of them yet, you know what I'm saying? But, it's a good vibe, man. So that's well, go ahead. What you about to say?
Well, I was going to say, you know, before I start anything, let me just, just say thank you for allowing me to join your show and, you know, taking this interview, you know, and like I said, you know, we've known each other for a while, so I appreciate everything that you've been doing to really push this hip-hop agenda and really encourage people to stay focused and creative at the same time. So this right here is an honor for me. So that's, you know, that's, let me just start by saying that, you know.
Nah, it's an honor having you, cuz, and, you know, and the fact that you keeping it going and keeping it moving and, you know, just to be part of that process for you. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's all full circle in regards to what we are setting out to do, because it's bigger than us. You know what I'm saying? We just we just lucky to be artists and be inspired. That's the, you know what I mean? So being around inspired people, man, you already know that's far and few between being around inspired people. So these conversations for me are good.
I agree 100%, man. Like, I had this conversation with my boy the other day. Like, yo, it's hard. It's hard to stay focused and motivated. It's really hard. So you do have to surround yourself with people that are like-minded and you know, and that'll keep you motivated. I try my best to surround myself with people that are doing big things and that are making a difference in their lives or in other people's lives. And, you know, just seeing that culmination and people bringing things into fruition is, like, amazing. Actually seeing dreams be achieved. So, I mean, we're all dream chasers. But, like, if you could reach one little part of your dream, you know, that's an accomplishment within itself. And, you know, music has always been my dream. And being creative has always been my dream. And, you know, just having the ability to do it on my terms and having the ability to just express myself and do what I think is hot for me, you know, it's something so addictive for myself that I have to just continue to do. Like, I listen to a lot of people, and to be honest with you, I like a lot of stuff out there, but I don't know. I always get excited when I create something new for myself, because I think I'm pushing my boundaries. You know what I mean? And I think, you know, you can't live life without pushing yourself. That's how I always look at it.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you wake up every morning just complacent and just not having that knot in your stomach about not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow, you know, that's, you kind of lost. That's not living. I think living life is feeling that sense of desperation of not knowing what's next. That's what I think. But like I said, you know, I can only speak for myself, and I can only speak for those around me that feel that way.
Go ahead.
No. I was, you know, because I'm talking a lot, so I'm just waiting for you to ask me some questions.
One of the questions that I'm going to ask is pertaining to, you know, what you just went over. But before that, you know, just so folks have an idea of the history of Wood Shalem, you know, like in a little brief time capsule, giving folks an idea of who you are as artists, you know. Just give them a little something.
Well, let me tell you this, man. I've been an artist for a very long time. I think if I say the I'll be putting my age out there, but I really don't care. I've been doing hip hop since early 90s. Was I good back then? In my head, I probably was, but, you know, I always felt like everyone else was around me from White Plains or Westchester was absolutely better. I think I just grew up admiring a lot of the dudes that really did it in Westchester or 914. I grew up admiring, like, the top qualities, Jaja, Two Guns, you know, Fair Sad, F.A.P., Joey Briggs, you know, a lot of, you know, I just grew up admiring a lot of dudes that was laying it down, you know, Pooh and
LP,
and, you know, LP, yeah, you know, and Nunu, DJ Nunu, you know what I'm saying? Like, dudes either doing the hip hop or just, you know, dudes, I was just always doing it, and I always admired that, you know, because, you know, everyone had their own flavor, and that's what I really appreciated about Westchester 914. Like, cats from Mount Vernon had a flavor. Cats from a Greenberg, cats from White Plains, cats from Elmsford. Like, everyone had their own flavor, and it was like I called it a Westchester thing, a 914 thing, because everybody just had their own flavor. So I just grew up admiring a lot of these dudes. And, you know, as the music, I would say, landscape changed, I would always look for that feeling that a lot of my hometown dudes used to give me when I used to listen to their cassette tapes. I'm not even for mixtapes, because I used to listen to a lot of dudes' demo tapes that such and such stole out such and such car, or such and such stole from such and such crib and made a copy. So that's how I used to get, like, everybody's music and hear it and stuff. So and I really appreciated that, man. So so just growing up in 914 and hearing a lot of dudes that would do it, it just always inspired me to wanna, you know, make music that was good enough that they could bop their heads to. So with that being said, you know, even you know what I'm saying? I used to come to you and try to throw you my little tapes to stand in third. But, you know, like I said, it was just always wanting that 914 Westchester thing going. You know what I mean? Honestly, back then, I don't think anyone was focused on being the best in White Plains. That wasn't the agenda. I think it was the agenda was like who was just bringing that heat. You know what I mean? And like, who was talking about you, or who was talking about you and your hottest joint? I'm the king or I'm the best king came about. But, you know, I think, you know, in order to be like crowned or whatever, the people have to nominate you. And that just comes with hard work.
Yeah.
That comes with, you know, just, you know, quality music. But that's been my journey. My journey's been like, all right, so my journey's been, you know, I started off rapping with one of, to me, I think he's one of my favorite MCs out of Westchester. His name is Yada B. I started rapping with him. We had a group called Shades of Black, and it was in the projects. Him, it was Yada B, Royal Fudge Acapella, my cousin. Man, we had a few more people. DJ K Swift, man, Khalid. trying to think. Yeah, that was about it. But like, we, you know, K Swift like took us under his wing, and we used to, you know, we was rapping in the lunchrooms, and then we took it to his crib and started making cassette tapes, and that's where it went from, you know. And then, you know, I've grown up in Westchester. I then moved up to, I went to college, and then when I went to college, I really, really got, that's when I really got my feet.
What year would you say that your sound was born? What, you know, like, could you name a specific song that can really speak, that really speaks to when your sound was born, or a specific year that could speak to when your sound, you know, the Wood Chillin' sound was born?
I tell you, the person who helped me culminate my Wood Chillin' sound, and I'm gonna keep it 100, is my cousin Lucky. Who has Holly Humble clothing, Holly Humble music. He was the one who really encouraged me to really focus on my sound. Like he, you know, he always used to be like, yo, Wood, you nice to sound a third, but, you know, you Haitian, you should be rapping more about being Haitian and representing Haitian and you know, and do this, that, and a third. And he was like, I can't front, man. He really pushed me to like really represent that sound. So, you know, us being, you know, being Haitian is like, You know, we have the mixture of, you know, Caribbean, like Caribbean reggae music, as well as, you know, Latin music and hip hop fused. And so I've always, like, considered that whenever I would make my music. But I would say Lucky was the person who really helped me get into my sound. And I think the first song that that I think really established was this one joint that me and Luck did together. It was called Kisa, you know what I mean? And that's like, you know how like Nori has that, what, you know? You know what I'm saying? Like that's kind of like a Haitian version of saying Kisa. You know what I mean? We did that on Hall Avenue. That used to be the H spot, H Studios. This dude named Molo produced the joint, and I think we did it at H Studios. And right then and there, Luck was like, "Yo, you need to stay in this lane." And then ever since then, I just pretty much stayed in that lane. For a long time, I depended on other cats to make beats for me. And you know what? I apologize. It was Luck, and there was one more cat. If I left this dude out the puzzle, I'd feel bad. This dude, I used to rhyme with a clique out of the Bronx called Sleepy Hollow. Sleepy Hollow. And
you brought me by his studio one time.
Exactly. And his name is Lou Savage, and he's actually went on to do big things. He's produced records for 50 Cent, and he owns a studio in Hempstead, Queens, called Savage Sounds. And one thing I can honestly say about him, he showed me how to write songs. Like, he literally showed me how to write songs. He showed me how to culminate ideas, bring ideas to life. He taught me how to write. He taught me how to count bars. And to this day, I still don't know how to count bars.
Hey, I mean, well, eventually it becomes embedded in you. You know what I'm saying? So because it's just innate after a while. You know what I'm saying? You know when the vibe of the song should shift. So. You know what I'm saying? That a lot of that, the technical, like the music theory, that's the music theory component of, you know, which is good to know also. I mean, for me, that's, you know, cause that's what I do when I teach music, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's embedded within you anyway. Just from listening to music, that theory is already embedded in you because you already know, have a sense of when the shift should happen, you know what I'm saying? So... You know, it's all good. And you know, the same way as playing from ear.
Yeah, it's funny. I always laugh because I'm a licensed audio technician and audio engineer. To this day, man, I still can't count bars. I can count my own bar. Like I said, I know the feeling. But like, if I were to record somebody. If I'm not pretty much looking at the Pro Tools session or the Logic session, I pretty much can't tell how many bars you got unless I actually sit down and count. But I hate counting. I just go based on feeling. So, you know, I always laugh about that.
Well, I've said this before, and, you know, this is like speaking into back into music theory, but music, like if you look at the history of music and like all the way back up to the classical times where, you know, it would be one song would be 30 minutes, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's like the marketing and the product encasement of music kind of really shifted and squashed it into a small presentation over the years. You'd have to be a person that really is into music to like go from the eras and really start to squash down and see how music just became some compact thing, you know. But you know, if you look at EDM and the new stuff, a lot of those songs will go on like 10 minutes, you know what I'm saying? Because it's,
yeah.
you know, and then Jimi Hendrix and different artists, they would just play. Fela, he would just play. It wouldn't be no set time, okay, we're going to stop now. You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. music is just like you attempt to create some kind of euphoric thing as you're going, you're going, you're going. You're trying to really hit that note, you know? Like when we sample stuff, we're trying to find that with that thing that just rocks the piece. But like older mm-hmm. artists, they would just play flat out, just keep playing until everybody was on that certain one accord where they were just all rocking in that one little zone. You know what I'm saying? And that was their euphoria for that. For that moment in time, that was why they were doing music, you know. So, yeah. you know, it's being a music student, man. That's what I enjoy, man, and that's the joy I get out of keep going. And that's what keeps me inspired is just looking at over the years how much music is being put out there into the world and how it just never gets old. So that goes into this yeah. next question. And keep the response short because we don't have a lot of time left. But this next question is about that I've been asking everybody is about the oversaturation of music, and just that concept of it, and the feeling that hip hoppers get about that some get when you talk to them about oversaturation when they mention that word. So what do you feel about that concept of when folks say, yo, there's too many people doing it, too many people doing music, too many people doing hip-hop, too many rappers. So what do you feel about that concept?
I just feel, all right, I'm going to try and simplify this as much as I can, as easy as I can. What I feel is that being that the tools that you can use to make hip-hop are so accessible that you could have a professional-sounding song and it pretty much doesn't take that much effort to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it easy. And when things get easy, anyone think they can do it. So dudes who ain't never rapped in their life could buy a beat for like, what is it, think they lease a beat for $5 and out. Professional-sounding beat and rap over it and put it out for they boys, and they boys thinking they hot, you know. And I don't think it's oversaturated. I just think that the artistry and the integrity and the hard work that used to go into making music is kind of it's been streamlined, so it's so monotonous that you can't really for someone who doesn't really know music can't tell whether somebody put some effort into something or whether they didn't. And when that gets thrown in the bag of apples, you can't really tell a bad apple from a good apple, and that's where the oversaturation aspect comes into play. But a person like me, I try my best to listen to what's out there, but a lot of what's out there I don't like. So when I do find something that I think is authentic, I rock with.
Okay. Nah, that's what's up. That's an honest answer, you know what I'm saying? And you know, because my spin on it, I always leave the open end, because my spin on it is that we look at things in regards to potential, you know what I'm saying? And definitely when you're dealing with the youth and the younger generation. So my theory on the potential of it is that the fact that everybody is doing it will lends more to the opportunity for people to work together, lends more to the opportunity of being able to put more money into this pool that we call hip hop, and also leans to the idea, the fact that, well, it should really be nobody broke if everybody's doing it. You know what I'm saying? It should be something where once we learn cooperative economics, that has to be the lesson at the same time too. And a lot of people have to be willing to participate in that lesson. But once we learn that concept, the fact that everybody's doing it, it'll be something that routine and collectively we can put into the thing that's ours. You know what I mean? So that's the flip side of it. That's the hopeful, wishful side of it. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, that's the optimism I take from the fact that everybody's doing it. Like, ah, well, then that means it's 20,000 of us instead of 20 of us. You know what I'm saying? That's how I look at it.
I don't mean to change the subject or segue into something else, but what I gotta tell dudes, like what I gotta tell dudes that do this hip hop thing, like ever since I started doing this hip hop thing, I did it because I just wanted to make music I liked. Like, of course, the end game was to get a record deal. That was the end game, but. Over the years, I just wanted to keep making music that I enjoy. But my advice to those that are doing this thing and think, like, there's a record deal down the line for them, like, to be honest with you, good luck. Good luck. Mm-hmm. I think those that are doing this should really focus on all the other opportunities this music could create for you other than getting a record deal. Like, you can build your own following, you know, and these record labels can come to you, but if they don't, you got your own following. And sometimes one thing I noticed for myself was, like, I remember when I first heard Drake, right? I heard Drake through SoundClick back in the days. I don't know if dudes used to go to this website called SoundClick, and I remember I used to listen to Drake on SoundClick. Nobody knew who he was. And I ain't going to front. I mean, nobody who I used to know or rocked with knew who he was. So that was like my own little, I like hearing this dude rap. And then as he blew up, I still enjoy him. But that feeling of knowing you discovered something that was dope and nobody really knows about it, you enjoy it more.
Mm-hmm.
But when everyone knows about it, it's like you kind of fall out of it because now it ain't yours no more. So what I'm saying is for you dudes, and what I'm trying to say is for you dudes that got your little followings and you're doing whatever you want to do, like as far as musically, just don't stick to that and expand your creativity, because those people who really feel you, they gonna hold on to you forever. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And with that being said, is like don't make your end game a record deal. Make your end game really having your following and catering to those that really want you to blow up. You understand what I'm saying?
No doubt.
There's money to be made.
It's a big world out there, man.
And I could discuss the monetary values in other lanes with you on another call, but that's game folks got paid for. But all I'm just saying is there's other ways to get money in this game other than just getting a record deal, you know. So
I mean, if they're paying attention, they can see that. I mean, if anybody is paying attention. You know what I'm saying? You can see all you have to do is look at one of your favorite artists and see how they expand out and see what they do. You know, I observed Drake's his game plan and how he takes from different artists and took from Jay-Z, took from Wayne, and just business approaches, you know what I'm saying? I moved into the sports component and, you know what I'm saying, expanded himself in various ways that expands his brand, you know what I'm saying? So that whole concept of back when Jay was like, I'm not a businessman, I'm a businessman, that's a lot of everyone took from that, you know what I'm saying? So it goes into this question for you. Now, the listeners that are listening right now, it's gonna end for them, but we'll continue because the longer piece is an hour piece, so we can continue so that we can get this discussion completed. But so now with the concept of, and shout out to the listeners whoever listening tonight. Don't worry, we're gonna have the full live broadcast with the music. Wishlin's music is gonna be up. I'll set the date this week for when that goes up, and that's gonna be fire. And everybody will be able to hear the conversation and the music. All right. So anyway, back to that question about your business. So I'm going to take this backwards, and because I usually ask 6 months from now, where do you see your music? But and then I follow it up with 4 years from now, where do you see your business? So what I'm going to do is ask you about your business first and ask you 4 years from now, the business of which you're in, where do you see it?
Should I say these plans?
It's always the outline. It's always the outline to keep folks knowing that it is a strategy. Like the Spurs, they're gonna always say, "I'm trying to win the championship." They're gonna tell you how.
Okay. Well. Okay. Then if that's the case, I want to be able to position the music that I create in all forms of media, and I'll just leave it at that. So.
Okay. All right.
And that's pretty much the goal, and open up new lanes to have music performed in, and that's my goal.
Okay.
You know, and to secure sponsorships and secure grants. Do this media plan that I have in play.
All right. So now, as far as your art and like some of the current projects that you're working on, 6 months from now, the projects that you're moving forward with, where's the art going to be taking you and your listeners six months from now?
Okay, I tell you this, I be getting into these zones right now. I'm feeling so nostalgic right now that I may come out with probably an EP where I'm just really dedicating the music that I make to artists that really move me. Like I kid you not. What I would like to do, and I always said this, is make a album with. Produce an album with all the MCs that I grew up listening to. So,
okay.
You know, producing a song for Jaja, producing a song for Top Quality, producing a joint for, whomever, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I was fortunate to produce a song for him, and hope like he and I plan on working on some more songs.
That joint Devil, right? Devil, right?
Yeah, Devil. I produced a song called Devil. I would really love to produce his album or executive produce his album, you know. But my dream is to my goal is to produce for a lot of cats I grew up enjoying.
Okay, and now. Through a business transaction kind of thing, which would mean like your label kind of thing, like, or just doing it for the streets and just giving it to, you know what I mean? In what capacity?
I want to give it to the people. I think the monetary value in it, there's money to be made, but I think. The money that will be made is when people really pick up on what I thought was amazing and, you know, and they catch on to it. You know what I'm saying? So
basically just get it done first and then, you know, work out the monetary aspect as it's going.
As it's going, basically.
Okay.
But, you know, like I said, I have a production team. Pretty much it's based in Washington Heights. It's called ATTNY. And basically I got two producers, actually with total four producers, including myself. And we produce for cats. We produce reggaeton, we produce hip hop, stepping into the R&B realm. And pretty much that's what we've been doing. But as far as hip hop, I've been doing the hip hop side of things.
Yeah. Now you doing some tracks.
yeah, Yeah, I'm writing for a few people. I'm not ghostwriting, but I'm writing for a few people. If I was ghostwriting for people, then that's just so be it, you know. But other than that, you know, that's about it.
Yeah.
I truly enjoy making music, man. It's a great feeling. It's a great feeling, you know. It's a great feeling to make music, and I think those of you who are listening and understand what I'm saying, like that feeling of making music is so addictive. It's like a drug to me. So I know those who do it know that drug feeling, that feeling of that euphoric feeling of track, hearing your vocals on a new track, hearing how you flip some wordplay.
Going back to 'cause I studied the jazz era, you know what I'm saying, and a lot of those guys, and you know, and they didn't make a lot of money, you know, but they were just as famous and just as much underground legends for being able to play the sax and being able to rock the drums, you know what I'm saying, and you know, when they went to clubs and they had these sessions. You know, and then it was the club sessions where they would, you know, get dressed up and rock. Then they would have the juke joints, you know what I'm saying, where they would be jamming, you know. And all what I've learned from musicians and artists is that, you know, especially from a band's perspective, a jamming perspective, you're just rocking and you're trying to catch that vibe where everybody's stuck, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's just moving, because when you accomplish that, then now imagine what the audience is doing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then now, you know, when James Brown came into the fold, you know, off the backs of people like Louis Armstrong and Calloway and, you know, Duke Ellington, that would scat with the audience, you know what I'm saying? James Brown came from that and sparked that whole, you know, just rocking with the melody of the band, making sure they in the groove, and then like his voice is coaching the audience, you know what I'm saying? And then it just creates a whole new euphoric vibe, and then that's really basically what hip-hop was spawned out of. That's why James Brown is quote-unquote the god of hip hop, you know what I mean, the creator, because of what he transitioned from the jazz world into that funk and that groove, you know what I'm saying, and created what we do with the audience, man, with the music and then with the audience, you know. But now it's all compacted into somebody in their room creating a vibe, finding a vibe, you know, especially for a person like Kanye, you know what I'm saying? You create the vibe, find the vibe, add the lyrics. And then boom, you see what his career has done for him, man, and what music has done, you know, in regards to just taking him wherever he wants to be, you know, because he just knows how to get that vibe out, you know. So, that's always the goal, man.
I agree absolutely, man. I just enjoy creativity. I enjoy those who continue to be creative. I enjoy hearing dope music. I kid you not, I really don't like hearing dudes rap about selling drugs all the time, because to me that subject just gets so monotonous. And how many ways can you sell coke or crack or like, you know what I mean? I think there's just more to life with stuff like, you know, instead of hustling. I know hustling is a part of our background, fully understood. But like, I don't need to be reminded all the time, you know. I think we grew up. Well, the crack era started like in '80, so we grew up in the tail end of the crack era. But you know, I don't need to be reminded of that, man. And nowadays, dudes ain't getting money like they used to get money back in the days from that crack. You understand what I'm saying?
Everybody's got to grow. and then that takes it into the realm of the Most High, of the best of planners. And it's a plan that we don't know of, you know what I'm saying? So all we know is to be in our lane and do what we do, You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And at the same time, too, know that we may, us doing us, may spark a mind or two that's in a different lane, and they may shift their consciousness, or they shift, you know what I'm saying, based upon a message that we portray or put out there just by being us. So, you know, everybody's lane and growth is different, you know, so it's just like, you know, but the consciousness allows you to say, okay, well, I'm going to stand for this, and I'm not standing for that. And you have your voice and your right to speak out against anything that you please, because, you know, somebody died for you in order to be able to do that. So that's your right to speak against things you feel that's, you know, it's your right. Yeah. Word up. Go ahead.
Okay. I just missed hearing God body rap.
And it's, you know, there. It's there. It just ain't prominent. You know what I'm saying? It's there, though.
Yeah, like,
shit, I heard a record, like, man. Nah, I hear you, man, but I heard a record, Killer Priest, he just put out, B. He basically broke down the whole fucking beginning of time, man, in one damn song. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, depending on what you're reaching out for, it's like, it's out there. I'm glad for artists like him that never stopped, and other artists. Nas is like on a little hiatus. He's making his connections with the education world, and, you know, he's making his connection with that hierarchy, you know what I'm saying? And he's helping to implant hip hop, you know what I'm saying, in a different way, you know. So he's going to get, you know, I can't wait for him to get back on his thing, you know, and see what he's going to present, you know. Jay Electronica, you know, he's been shifting back and forth. We don't know what he's going to do, but, you know, I guess he's making his connections as well, you know. But it's there, you know what I'm saying? And at the same time, too, wherever you feel that there's a lack, you, why don't you become that? You know what I'm saying? let me hear which limb joint dropping some all jewels and shit, you know what I'm saying? Word up, you know, that might appease that aspect within you that says, all right, I'm satisfied now, shit, I'm doing the God bite rap, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's the fun piece about it. I presented the challenge to my younger cats the other day with our interview, you know what I'm saying? Because they were talking about the saturation and they were talking about their generation and how they felt like, you know, they're too selfish, you know what I'm saying, their generation, and they don't feel like they will come together because it's like too much selfish components to them, you know, as they come up. So I was like, well, one thing about it is once you start talking about it, that's the only way to really combat it, is to speak up about it. And at the same time, too, let me hear y'all do a song about it. Y'all getting that cast about their selfish ways, you know what I'm saying? Why not? You know,
I'll tell you what a lot of these young cats lack in the music is that being that everyone could do it, being that when we grew up, you kind of had to earn your spot. You know what I'm saying? Like, prime example. Here's the best analogy I got is growing up. If you wanted to meet a chick, you physically had to get up, go to the mall, and holler at a chick, right? Now, if you want to meet a chick, you could just literally pick up your phone and like a chick's pic and send her a DM. Like, the effort is gone. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of like how the music is, you know. The effort is gone. Everything is so accessible. And when it's that way, things become devalued. You know,
no doubt.
Which is why
go ahead.
Yeah, that's why hip hop becomes so devalued. What really bothers me now about hip hop is that, you know, everybody wants to make a stink when they see people rapping other than our people. When they see someone who's non-black rapping and this person is decent, people get upset. Like, oh, we losing our hip-hop. We ain't losing our hip-hop. It's just that when you had a chance to support someone like you, you ain't want to support.
I tell you,
hip hop nowadays, 90% are wannabe rappers. Better yet, 99% are wannabe rappers, and that 1% are actual fans. So it's hard to appease those who want to rap.